You're listening to Average Joe Sports Talk Podcast with your boy E-Man.
Yo, what is up, everybody? This is your boy E-Man coming at you. Back at it. Episode 51, getting busy. NBA Finals. We started with 16 teams just about a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago. Now we're down to just a final two. The Golden State Warriors against the Toronto Raptors. That's right, folks. The Toronto freaking Raptors. Look, this series between Toronto and the Bucks, I flip-flop more than a freaking pancake. My original prediction, I predicted the Toronto Raptors to win in seven games. Then I got scared when they went up 2-0. Even when Toronto had that good game three, which it was like two overtimes, I said, look, Bucks are, I'm going to flip back to the Bucks winning in six, right? Whoa, was I was wrong. I mean, what can you say about Kawhi Leonard? 11 straight 30-point plus games. His shooting percentage from three is not great, but he hit the big threes when they counted. He just brought back, Kawhi Leonard just brought back the one-on-one mid-range game back to popularity. For real. That dude was just shaking and baking, taking pull-ups, taking it to the rack. Those size, I don't even know what size those paws he has, those big-ass hands, but he was taking it to the rack. So Kawhi right now, to me, is playing like a man possessed. It went from Adekapumpo playing a man amongst boys to Kawhi Leonard slapping Adekapumpo and making him a little boy and taking over the next four games by doing a reverse sweep. Again, I am beside myself. I really need to like gain my credibility, and I'm going to do it with this conference final prediction. And I'm going to break down this conference final prediction, man, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a good one. Golden State Warriors are definitely heavily favored, but the Toronto Raptors, man, they beat two teams already with their backs against the wall, and they've made the comebacks to win the game. So I'm like, I just cannot believe it. I think this finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, and just to get back on the Bucks for a little bit before we move on, is unbelievable, man. He still has a ceiling to get to. I don't think he's reached a ceiling yet because he needs to improve that outside shot. He was definitely exposed when they crowded the paint. He couldn't do anything. Good defense by Toronto. They figure it out. He just doesn't have that consistent outside shot like Kawhi does. Kawhi is not a great 3-point shooter, but he's a good outside shooter. Can hit the 20-footer. Can hit the pull-up. When Adekapumpo develops, Giannis develops that kind of game because he does have the athletic ability, has the ability to put on the floor and those insane wingspan. Then when he develops that mid-range fadeaway like Kawhi does, kind of like it's kind of the same players. You know what I mean? Him and Kawhi, similar to the same players. I think Kawhi is a better defensive player one-on-one. But I think when he gets that to that level, it's going to be difficult for anybody to keep Kawhi. I mean, Giannis in front of him. The Raptors exposed the offensive game, his non-existent outside shot. And that was the difference of the game. I mean, come on. Everybody showed up in game one and two. But Middleton didn't show up the rest of the series. Lopez showed up in game one and then in the last game. And that's it, man. I mean, it was just like nobody was around. They just turned the switch off completely. Actually, I should say that Toronto, the Raptors, turned their switch off by ramping up that defense. And Kawhi just kept playing at a high level. I mean, he just, 11 straight games and 30 points. No sneezing about that, for sure. So right now, the Toronto Raptors are back at it. They're in the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Yo, the last time Toronto ever won a title from any franchise or sport team were the Blue Jays in 93. Joe Carter walking off, hitting that dinger to seal the game in Game 6 against Wild Thing Mitch Williams. Mitch Williams was never the same player again, but that was the last time Toronto won a championship of any kind from any other sports franchises. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen in this series and, how is the Raptors going to fare next to the Warriors. But we're going to break this down. And one thing that we do know, that's for sure, Kevin Durant will be out of Game 1. Kerr just announced today that Kevin Durant is not going to play in Game 1. Look, big elephant in the room. That's been the biggest conversation all week. Do the Warriors play better without Kevin Durant? Are they a better team without Kevin Durant? Steph is 31-1 without Kevin Durant in the last 32 games. That is an amazing stat. I mean, if you look at the stats and you look at the winning, right? What does it make you say that, we should say that the Warriors are a better team? I think the Warriors are a more fun team to watch and Steph is a more important player. But KD is the better player, the best player in the team, and Steph is the most important player of the team. They could turn it up and play a different style of basketball when Durant is not around. I don't think they could switch it up and play a different style of basketball and be successful with Durant without Steph. That's a big difference. That is just a big difference overall in the dynamics with playing without Steph or playing without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant leading the team without Steph and Steph leading the team without Kevin Durant. That is pretty much what it comes down to. I think that they're definitely a much better team with Durant because you got Durant, who's an insane matchup problem. Nobody can match up with Durant, so it doesn't matter if it was the Bucks or the Toronto Raptors. Matching up with Durant was going to be a nightmare. And look, that's the reason why I said the Bucks are going to be a harder matchup than Toronto, because I think even without Kevin Durant, the Warriors match up way better with Toronto. There's a lot of matchup problems from either team that you'll see in this game that's come out of. So, I mean, wow, it's going to be crazy. You know, Kawhi, like I said, 11 straight point 30 plus games. Insane. Steph averaged 36 points in the Western Conference finals. Over 36 points. That's pretty much an insane number. I think he's the highest scoring points per game scoring average since, I believe it was Shaq on a sweep in the Western Conference final. That's for somebody that was the second weapon on the team. There's a few things I want to look at and that I'm really excited about this series. I'm really excited about Kawhi continuing his dominance, kind of shoving it in San Antonio's face by saying I was right. Because he is the most non-polarizing, most I want to be out of the spotlight kind of player I've ever seen in my life. But he keeps delivering these clutch performances. And what he just did in taking Toronto to the finals in his first year is insane. That team is not loaded with all-stars. They got some really good role players that are done a great job. Look, Kyle Lowry showed up in the Eastern Conference Finals, which he hasn't done all playoff long. Had a decent game in his last game, had a great game one, and I think he's the X factor of that team alongside the other role players. But I'm looking forward to Kawhi Leonard to see how much he keeps his dominance and what kind of, you know, problems he's going to create for Golden State. I'm also really looking forward to Steph Curry continuing that insane run he's in right now, averaging 36 points a game in the last five games. I want to see how they match up with Steph, how they're going to stop him. Because they really don't have anybody at the one or the two, even Van Vliet, a lot of small guards, a lot of guys that are not known for their defense. That's what I'm looking at. I want Steve Kerr to win another championship, and him being the guy that's won the most championship as a player and as a coach, I don't know if he's going to be the man, but he's getting close to it. I want to see what kind of defensive schemes Steve Kerr develops to try to stop Kawhi Leonard. See, those are the couple of things that I'm asking myself that I'm looking forward in this series, right? It's insane. So it's one of those things, man, that there's a lot of unanswered questions of the matchup and the predictability of what's going to happen, just like any series out there. But this is a little bit off. You know what I mean? This is a little bit different, right? And also, can Kyle Lowry, like I said, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, and Fred VanVleet put that consistency that they did against the Bucks? Experience, it's all Kawhi, Leonard, and Danny Green who've been there before. But man, if Kawhi pulls this off, you got to give him his props, man. You got to put him out there as one of the top players in the league. That's what I got to say. And the other part that I'm looking at is, okay, look, we know what Golden State has done without Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins. I think another big question to ask yourself is what happens when they come back? If they come back, how are we going to, are they going to just change a whole formula that's been winning for them in the last six games? Because remember, 5.5 games, because Durant went out on game 5 in the third quarter. But then after that, it's been juggernaut Steph and the whole Warriors with Draymond Green being the complete, you know, rolling downhill boulder and, you know, snowball who's getting bigger and bigger. But how do they change that? I mean, the Warriors have really outscored their opponents by about 5 points per 100 possessions over 440 minutes in the playoffs when Draymond, Steph, and Klay, Killer Klay, are on the floor. That's a pretty sick average. That's a pretty sick average. Again, I think Toronto matches better. It's a better matchup for the Warriors than the Bucks will be, even though the Bucks were not hitting anything out there at all. And then I want to find out in this series, one of the things I'm intrigued about is who's going to be the best player in this series for each team. I think at this point, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's going to be Kawhi for Toronto because they really don't have anybody else. And it's definitely going to be Steph. As long as Durant doesn't come back, Steph is the man. Because Steph, that's the good thing about Steph. He is such a superstar and such a basketball brain. He's so smart that he knows what to do when Durant comes in. He defers to Durant, just like Dwayne Wade did to LeBron. Because he knows that we're going to get him off first because he's going to be beneficial for us. But when Durant's not on the floor, Steph does what he's been doing. Those 36 points a game, which is insane. Insane. I mean, think about it, right? Steph averaged 35.8 points with 66% true 40 percentage when the Warriors went 5-0 since Durant went down. in these playoffs. 35.8 points a game with a 66-point shooting percentage, all right, in the last five games. Insane. Really insane. Stats for days. Really stats for days. So I'm really looking forward to, and I think right now, I think Curry is still going to play at that same level. He's going to be playing high. It's going to be a high level of playing. I don't think he's not going to reduce his style of play. Pretty much it. He's not going to reduce style of play. He's going to play the same fast pace, the same ball that got him here when Durant went down, and pretty much what it is. And let's talk about kind of like schemes, man. I mean, what kind of defensive schemes? I mean, look at the difference, right? There was nobody in the other team that could stop Kawhi Leonard, even when they put Giannis on him, because you needed Giannis to stay out of foul trouble. There was nobody else. Middleton couldn't guard him. Nobody off the bench could guard him. Ilyasova, they really had nobody to put a body on Kawhi Leonard. The Bucks, may I add. But with the Golden State Warriors, there's a little bit of a difference. And actually, the difference are that Kawhi Leonard is going to see a lot of Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. I think Steve Kerr is going to give Kawhi, on the defensive side, a heavy dosage. He's going to start with Iguodala and Draymond Green afterwards. Draymond Green has been playing like a man possessed. All right, insane. Not just scoring the triple doubles, but playing defense, blocking, rebounding, playing, switching up on other players. They got to make it difficult for Kawhi. And if you think about it, they shut down James Harden during, you know, in stems, in series. I mean, they shut him down when they needed to in certain series of the games, right? He still went off for like 30-something points a game. But when it was time to get a stop on the shot, they made him miss. They annihilated McCollum and Damian Lillard, all right? They went from CJ McCollum and Big Game Dame to the Big Game Shames because they just shut him down and annihilated him. That's the difference. They got two wing defenders that could play defense with the best of them. Iguodala has shut down LeBron in the past. He still has those abilities, even though he's older and more injured. But Draymond Green is playing at a high level, and this is going to be the difference of the game. The difference of the game is going to be that they got two bodies that can match up defensively and guard Kawhi Leonard. Don't get me wrong. Kawhi is going to get his. I think he's going to average close to 30 points a game. But I think in the clutch, in the fourth quarter, Steve Kerr's scheme, like I call it the defense at the right time scheme. They'll make the stop when they need to at the right time. That's what he does. It's not a defense that shuts down team and makes them score 80. No, it's on ball defending, team defending, that actually they get the stop when they need to at the right time of the game. I know it's crazy. But that's what Steve Kerr is going to do. It's going to be a heavy dose of Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. And finally, the other matchup issue that I see here, and it's going to be, can Kyle Lowry keep up with Steph? That's all. Stephen Curry. How is he going to keep up with him on the defensive side? How is he going to keep him at bay? That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen, especially at this level of Stephen Curry's he's playing right now. And Kyle Lowry's unknown for defense, and it's going to be very difficult for Kyle Lowry, which is going to, it's going to be very difficult for him to play offense and try to keep up with Steph. VanVleet, he's not a good guard either, defensive-wise. I mean, he could play offense, but Steph guards everybody. He's not a great defender either, but his offense is his defense. He tires his opponents out, and when it comes time to play defense, he gets a steal here and there. So I think Kyle Lowry is going to have nightmares trying to stop Steph Curry. The big difference is he had to play D against George Hill, and I believe, I forget the other backup guard is Brandon or whatever his name is, and nowhere near the Steph level of playing. So I think he is really going to tire himself out on the defensive side and won't be able to perform on the offensive side. So that's the big difference here. They don't have a guard or a player to stop Steph Curry. And if they're going to double team Steph, Klay is going to shoot threes all day. Draymond's going to cut to the basket and get a lot of buckets. Iggy is going to hit his points out there from three and cutting. It's going to be that kind of game. That's pretty much what I'm looking out of this series. And I'm going to call it right now, six games, Golden State. I'm not going to flip-flop on this one, win or lose, but six games, Golden State, regardless of Kevin Durant plays or not. It's going to be six games. Steph MVP. Finally, he's going to get an MVP in the finals. Now, it's not completely out of the question or impossible for Kawhi Leonard to bring a championship to Toronto. That's not completely out of the question. But I think Golden State is destined to win. I think Steph Curry is putting up the best numbers and the best run he has ever had in the NBA playoffs in his career. Remember what I said when Kevin Durant went down in the Houston series? It's time for Steph Curry, the only ever unanimous MVP, to put these cats on his back and have the league put some respect on his name and take his game to the other level, translate the regular season success into the playoffs. And so far, he's done it. And the culmination, it's going to be when he wins the championship. Golden State in six, baby. I'm going to try to react on every single game if I can, because this is going to be a fun series. Good luck to the Raptors. Good luck to Golden State. Again, I got my boys Golden State winning six. Yeah, man, this week's meat and potatoes of this podcast is all the NBA, baby. It's all the Western Conference Finals, because Toronto unexpectedly did his thing. Kawhi is playing at another level. Steph is doing Steph things. But yeah, that's exactly what it is, man. It's all NBA this week, man. And we're going to close this off with some more NBA as well. And we've got to end it with some Magic Johnson interviews, thoughts on First Take. So Magic decided to go on ESPN's First Take with Stephen Smith and Max Kellerman to share his thoughts on the whole Laker fiasco and failed experiment of him being the president of the front office, president of operations of the team. And of course, man, you know, just like his resignation was without giving any notice to his boss, Jeannie Buss, he did it via an interview. And then even, you know, before he even sent his letter of resignation, he went out there and, you know, he did not hold back. He went firing in all cylinders. And dude, he just, you know, really tried to defend himself. And of course, it's First Take, man. You know, Stephen A. Smith is it's definitely a fan and definitely welcomes all drama possible, because he's such a drama queen himself that this is like, yo, this is perfect for my show. But yeah, man, Magic Johnson went out there. He accused Rob Pelinka, a.k.a. the Rob Lowe lookalike, the most Rob Lowe lookalike I've ever seen in my life. But anyways, he accused Rob Pelinka of stabbing him in the back, claiming that he quit because he wasn't having any fun anymore and realizing that he didn't have the power that he was promised when he was actually trying to fire Luke Walton. But they went and stepped on his decision by saying, you're not going to do that. Kept urging that Pelinka was, you know, stabbing him in the back pretty much by throwing him under the bus every opportunity he could to Jeannie Buss, not having the right work ethic, not showing up on time, not showing up at all to work. You know, Magic kept saying the people around the office are telling him that, hey, man, Pelinka's talking smack about you and throw you under the bus every time he gets. And Magic actually didn't like this, saying that, you know, these things being said behind his back. It's funny thing, because Magic said that he planned to retire or quit the job or not have the job in 3 years. And his plans were to groom Rob Pelinka, for his role. He said that he was going to elevate him to the president's position. Ain't that something, huh? So Magic said that, look, at the end of the day, it was Pelinka who stabbed me in the back. Even though when I was trying to hire him, people were telling me that they don't hire that guy. He's not trustworthy. He's not loyal. But he hired him anyway. That's what people were telling him before that. That pretty much it, man. Pelinka wanted his job, but he was going to get it through any way. So that's why he decided to leave and resign, because he wasn't having any more fun as he thought he was going to have. And he was miserable pretty much, right? You know, valid points from Magic, right? You know, that's what I'm talking about. So look, guys, at the end of the day, let's break this down, right? A president of an organization, baseball, basketball, football, doesn't matter, has to perform, right? And it's not just to be the face or the liaison or the mouthpiece of their team that they're running. They're actually running a day-to-day operation, which includes personnel. It includes payroll. It includes HR. It includes a whole bunch of stuff that a former NBA player who's never ran a business before is going to struggle. You can't run it from home. You can come in at 11 o'clock every day and leave at 5. All right. It's a major grind, especially in the NBA. You got travels, recruitment, going to the G League, recruiting outside the country, talking to other teams, talking to other VPs, working that waiver wire in regards to, hey, man, I'm going to drop this guy. Who can I pick up? It's a lot of hustle the Magic really does not need, because he doesn't need the money or the recognition, because he's a freaking multi-millionaire. He's like worth like $600 and something million. People that do this do it for the love and do it for the fact that they want to grind and make some more money. Magic doesn't need it. So when you got a guy like Pelinka behind you and seeing all his faults, yeah, he's going to throw you under the bus, my friend. Then Bridie's going to throw you under the bus because he wants your job. So at the end of the day, Magic, I think, and I'm almost 100% sure that he came in saying, look, I'm going to look pretty. I'm going to use my influence. I'm going to go ahead and do interviews, develop players, be that a smiling, happy guy. You know, I'm going to be that leader. I was on the court when I won 5 rings in the 80s with my team. All right, it's a big difference. Magic is probably one of the top 5 greatest leaders on the court of all time. Probably the best point guard that ever laced him up. Look, argument top five player of all time. But he has failed as a coach and now the front office. It's a different ball game when you actually have to step up and run a business, because that's what being a president of organization is. You're the top level manager that has to lead, manage, control, budget, grind it out for your organization to come out successful. You're holding people accountable, but you're held accountable by the ultimate goal, which is winning and prospering and making a profit. Magic thought he was going to come in and work 5-6 hours a day, make some phone calls, get on TV, do his thing, smile, do some good posts and pregame conferences, let Pelinka do all the dirty work, but that wasn't the case. The ultimate responsibility, man, falls on the president of the team. And that's what happened. Magic had a completely different thought of what running a team was as opposed to what it actually is when he actually got the job. So yeah, look, there's a reason why the Lakers are a mess. When you had a guy like Magic, no disrespect to him, great basketball player, great leader on the court, but has no experience running a business, it's a big difference making money through your name and investments and using all the stock options and all that stuff than actual running a day-to-day operation like he had to do. It's a little different story. It's you know, you could have the luck and also the ability to call sound investments and investing your money and then, you know, duplicating and tripling your amount, which is what he did with, you know, Starbucks, Hollywood Studios, a percentage of the Dodgers team, which was pretty much a small percentage, which he just goes out there and speaks. He's the figurehead. He's the marketing tool because he's from LA and all that good stuff. But when you got to get in there and run day-to-day operations of a team, it's a little different story than working 5 hours a day. It's a little different from just going out there and doing press conference. It's a little different than smiling and saying, I'm Magic Johnson. Why don't you sign with me? And it's all good. It's a lot of more moving pieces, man. A lot of more responsibility. And that's what Magic failed to see. And that's the reason why he failed after he took the job. Not so much Rob Pelinka. Don't hate the player, Magic. Just hate the game. And that's all I got for you folks this week. I appreciate you all. Thank you very much for listening. My loyal listeners, thank you for being here. This is day one, 51 episodes. We got to keep grinding, coming back week after week. If you guys keep downloading, especially the way we're blowing up, your boy's going to come back. And to my new listeners, please go ahead and subscribe, man. My links are all down low to every available platform that this podcast is published on. And follow me on Twitter. You know, reach out to me on Twitter and send me any questions you might want me to holler about on my show. All right, so thank you very much for listening. Appreciate you all. This is your boy E-Man signing out. Peace.